Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Relevant Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Dr. Aaron Barisano, who is the new superintendent of schools for the Diocese of Orange. Welcome, Dr. Barisano.
Thank you, Rick. It's great to be here.
And if you'd be so kind as to lead us in a word of prayer, I think we'd all be appreciative.
Thank you. Good and gracious God, we thank you for your presence here among us and your time here with us. And we ask you to send your loving spirit upon us as we journey together and build up our Catholic schools in the Diocese of Orange. Send your wisdom, your fortitude, and your courage that we may be the people that you call us to be. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. And once again, we are here on the Tower of Hope on the campus of Christ Cathedral, where Dr. Barisano's had to make the incredibly long trek all the way across the campus because she is actually in a different building. The superintendent's office, what do you think of it? Not a bad little office to be in now,
not
is it?
A bad little office. And I have the joy of being right over the playground of the Christ Cathedral Academy. So when those kids return, I'll be able to spend some time with them every day. And as I shared with my own children at home, I also get to look out onto Disneyland. So I see the tops of the building over at the happiest place on earth.
Okay, so you've actually got an ideal setup. When I was in Catholic education and I needed a fix, I would head down the hall to the kindergarten room and just walk in for a moment. And 3-4 minutes later, you walk out rejuvenated.
Absolutely.
You've got that privilege. Very few superintendents have a working school in their building. You've got that here on campus here. Have you made any visits during the summer so far down there?
I've made a few visits during the summer, mostly to kind of meet some new people. The students haven't been back yet. So we're looking forward to that, but that is a great thing to be able to go down to our kindergarten classroom, and we also have a preschool down there, and those little ones are the best ones, filled with the Holy Spirit. So on those tough days, I'll make sure to spend some time with them.
Well, and I happen to know that you're not the only one that's new here. I stumbled yesterday into the mass that was going on the 13th floor, which apparently was for all the new teachers that were here, so they were getting blessed by one of our bishops, and they're all excited about starting. There's a great group. It was a full house. We have a large group of students coming in this year. How are you feeling about this new responsibility? It's a pretty awesome thing to take on, especially since you were not a superintendent before. You were an assistant superintendent. But
yes.
You were at a large diocese.
That's correct. I hail from the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. I grew up there, attended school there, and the last 5 years had the privilege of working in the Department of Catholic Schools and as an assistant superintendent in the Archdiocese. But your question about how I'm feeling, I feel so blessed to be in the Diocese of Orange, and I absolutely feel that this is where God has called me to serve and to serve the schools here, the parents, the students, the teachers, and in a very special way, the leaders of our schools. I have a really special place in my heart for our principals and presidents, having walked in their shoes, and the work that they do is just some of the hardest work in education.
Having done a little bit of it myself, I can agree with that. Before we actually go into what is so special about the Diocese of Orange, though, I know that a lot of people who are listening, they've heard of you. They've heard your name anyway. They may have read an article about you, but they've not really met you or know anything about you. So I guess what I want to do is to introduce you then, but I'm not the one that should be doing the introduction. You should. So tell me a little bit about yourself. You said that you went to Catholic schools in L.A. Where did you go? What did you do? When did you skin your knee? What happened
sure,
with you?
Sure. No, I'd love to tell that story. I grew up not far from here in Pomona, California, and I am number 6 in a family of 7 children, and I grew up in a very traditional Catholic family and attended school at St. Joseph elementary school in Pomona, and then went on to Pomona Catholic Girls High School. But really, my formation began in the home, and my parents, Hank and Emily Ochoa, really, I consider them to be my first models of faith and spiritual leaders in my life. And we were very traditional. We prayed the rosary. We celebrated Advent with the Advent wreath. We, you know, attended Mass. All of us went through Catholic school. And those are things that I think really formed me as a person, and particularly as a person of faith. When I completed high school, I had a very strong desire to attend a Catholic university. And so so I had the privilege of attending University of Notre Dame. And that really was a time in my life that my faith became my own. As a young adult, that was a time when I made the decisions about how and where I chose to worship and grow deeper in my faith with my encounters with Christ.
It can be a great campus. Touchdown Jesus and the Grotto and
that's right, and I was there during the Lou Holtz year, so we had a pretty good football team too.
Right, very good. But you survived the cold. That's good.
I did.
And you warmed your faith, and that's something that has then motivated you to go even beyond. You came back to the Southern California area.
I did. My interesting enough, education is actually my second career. I graduated with a degree in marketing, business administration, and was recruited by General Mills. And I sold Cheerios my first year out of college. I was in the consumer foods sales business and called on grocery stores and sold General Mills and Betty Crocker and all those big name brands. But I was really called to do more marketing than sales. And so I had the opportunity to work for an international marketing firm for the next 4 years. And it was a great treat to be able to travel the globe, to work with a really diverse clientele and colleagues. And for a person in their young 20s, it was a lot of fun.
That would give you quite an interesting taste of life and of the world as well. So nevertheless, you still came back to Southern California.
I still came back. The Holy Spirit is relentless. And,
so how'd that happen? Because I know eventually you start teaching.
I start teaching, and I started teaching after 5 years in business. And as I said, the Holy Spirit just kind of tap. And I had always had a love for education. School was kind of my thing, and I was good at it. I was happy at it. I thrived in school and being a student. So I had an opportunity to go back to the school that I attended at St. Joseph's School in Pomona.
Oh, wow. That's always nice.
It was great. It was coming home for me. And my mom was a longtime school secretary there. And so the principal had kind of seen me grow up. Yeah. And she knew me when I went off to college and when I came back, and had kind of been watching from the sidelines. And I think, you know, there are people in our lives that see things in us that we don't always see in ourselves. And Sister Carol Marie gave me a chance in the classroom. She saw that I had the qualities to be a good teacher. And so I started my teaching career with no prior teaching experience formal education as a teacher. And I taught second grade for 1 year.
Okay. And great grade. I have a theory myself as an educator. The even-numbered years are the best years. Second, fourth, sixth, eighth. Second grade, they're out of that whole kindergarten, first grade phase.
Right.
Fourth grade, they come in still believing in Santa Claus. They leave being able to hold an adult conversation. They haven't learned to abuse it yet. Sixth grade, they've all mellowed out from fifth grade. Eighth grade, the boys all know that the girls aren't going to be interested in them.
Right.
And they've settled in on that, and everyone's ready to graduate, get out of there. It's the even-numbered years that are great. It's the turnover you see in the odd-numbered years. Have you ever noticed that?
So that's interesting you say that, because I only lasted a year in second grade.
And it's one of my favorite grades.
As great as it was, again, I think people see things in us that we don't always see in ourselves. And so near the end of the year, Sister Carol, my principal, tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, "Aaron, would you consider teaching seventh grade?"
I did eighth grade.
One of those odd years. And
yeah,
I said, "Sister, I don't want to teach those kids. Those kids are scary. They're big kids." And so I prayed over it, and I started teaching seventh grade, and, you know, I fell in love.
Wow.
I fell in love with those seventh graders.
You either do or you don't.
You either do or you don't. Yeah. That's absolutely true. And they need so much. They're right at that point where they need so much, but they don't want anyone to know how much they need. And if you can connect with them, you have them eating out of your hand.
And they understand authenticity.
Yes, they do.
So if you are a teacher who is able to reach them and they can see in you an authentic expectation of them, they'll rise to that expectation in seventh grade. It's a great grade.
It's a great grade. And I loved my seventh graders. So
all right.
I loved them so much that when I became a principal, every year a new seventh grade class would come in and I would talk to them and I'd say, "You are my favorite class this year." And nobody ever tells seventh graders that they're their favorite class, right?
So. Nobody gives them 2 years of leadership. They rise to the occasion.
Right.
They will.
That's
they will.
That's right.
So, okay, how long did you teach junior high school then?
I taught for 7 years. I taught junior high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you went on to become a principal, same school, different school?
Different school, different
okay.
school. After my daughter was born, I was looking for something a little bit closer to home. And okay. so I had the opportunity to become a principal at St. Luke's School in Temple City.
What, did you think being a principal would somehow be less taxing?
You know, I'm going to go back to the Holy Spirit being relentless. And I knew that I was headed for administration. I was already in my master's program for Catholic school administration. And the time is never right. It's never right in your life, but God's time is not our time. So I was called to take over the principalship at this school, and it was a great opportunity. And as principalships are, it was filled with many joys and many challenges. And
yeah.
that's what it is to be a leader.
It always is, but it's the one place where true leadership really is molded in education, because you have to deal not only with the children, but with the parents and with the faculty and with WASC and
right.
with all of the requirements that go and
right,
everything
right.
else. And you handled that well.
You
obviously did.
I
have promoted you. Unless the Peter principal was going up. Somebody liked you doing that. How long were you principal?
For 7 years, again.
Seven more
yep.
years.
Seven
okay.
more years. Very biblical.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah.
yeah. All right. Very good. And then you were called upstairs.
I was called upstairs.
And you went
upstairs,
to the,
yes,
the archdiocese.
The archdiocese, uh-huh.
And you survived that.
I did.
Which is, that didn't mean to come across as being down. But one of the problems with going to the diocesan headquarters that any diocese I've ever been at is that it can separate you out from the day-to-day ministry at the parish level. Did you find that when you first went in?
You know, that's such a great question. It was important to me as an administrator and as an archdiocesan administrator to stay connected with my schools. And so I did that through my relationship with the principals and making visits to the schools. But you can very easily fall into that. In my path to leadership and every kind of step I take away from the classroom, I always remember that I am at the heart of things a Catholic school teacher.
And when we come back, we're going to transition from being assistant superintendent in Los Angeles to here. You are listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Dr. Aaron Barisano, who is the new superintendent for the Diocese of Orange, and we will be right back.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange.
This is John Romero, music director at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are 1 year away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, and we have some spectacular concerts available to you. Check them all out at ChristCathedralMusic.org or on our Facebook page, Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus, are here to assist you and your family through this transition, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the beautiful Christ Cathedral campus. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102.
Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Garden Grove, California. on the campus of Christ Cathedral, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today is Dr. Aaron Barisano, who is the new superintendent of schools for the Diocese of Orange. And I can tell you, having been a principal for about 9 years, being the superintendent is something that I don't think I would ever wish on anybody else. It can be a very demanding job. I guess it depends on the circumstances, and it depends on a number of different things, but my goodness, it can be difficult. Now, you were assistant superintendent at a massive school system in the Archdiocese of L.A. How many assistant superintendents are there? There's a number of them.
Yes, for the elementary schools, there were 7 assistant superintendents.
Wow. Okay, so you've got some colleagues to work with.
Yes.
Not that they're going to share your burden so much, as they can at least share your ear and give you some camaraderie.
And that's very much what it was. Being on a team, going from being a principal to being on a team with 7 colleagues was really, really special. And I don't think I realized how much I had missed that camaraderie and collegiality.
Okay. So how long were you there being formed as an associate assistant superintendent in this massive educational system?
I spent 5 years there.
Okay, long enough. But you not only survived that, you thrived. And you also began, in your spare time, attending a doctoral program through Loyola Marymount?
I did.
How did that work? Did this take up like every moment of your time in life?
It's so funny.
Your children barely recognize you?
Yes. When I look back, I think I don't know how it all worked, but it worked. And I'm a student at heart, and I love learning. And
there's that lifelong learner that we all have in all of our WAS documents.
That's right. And just really appreciated the opportunity. It was the right time in my life, and my kids were the right age. I couldn't have done any of this without the support of my family, my husband. But I had a great support system of friends and family, extended family as well, that supported me on my journey, and it was a beautiful journey.
Now, I want to hear the actual title of your dissertation, because I only read a brief account of it. So what did you do your dissertation on?
My dissertation was on forming and supporting lay Catholic elementary principals as spiritual leaders.
As spiritual leaders. I would love to read that, because it's my opinion that that's the biggest problem we have right now amongst Catholic principals in most dioceses around the country, that they were formed as Catholic educators. And as Catholic educators, the first focus really is on the quality of the education and not on the spirituality. And this is a ministry. And we've been going back and forth about how do we grow our schools, because our Catholic schools have been in crisis for quite some time on enrollment issues. A number of dioceses are down horribly. This diocese has had some enrollment issues, but it's done better than a lot of the other dioceses. But one of the factors that this diocese, I think, has in its favor is it has been focused so well in so many ways on this being a ministry of Christ. Is that kind of where you go with your dissertation?
That's exactly. And I think that, you hit the nail on the head that it is an issue in our Catholic school system that's gone unidentified. It has been assumed that as we have grown in lay leadership, over the last 30 years in our Catholic schools, that our leaders come in not only with the competencies to be spiritual leaders, but with that confidence level too. And my research really has shown that that's not necessarily the case. And so from a diocesan standpoint, we need to pay attention to this and really, really put our focus not only on growing leadership within and for our schools, but particularly paying attention to that spirituality piece. How do we grow spiritual leaders and form them? And once they are in that role of leadership, then how do we support them?
I now understand, I think, one of the main reasons why you were hired here, because at this particular diocese, Bishop Van has really made some concrete movement to go in that very direction of trying to push towards the Catholic identity of our schools and the Catholic formation of our leadership. And that's something that I know has been critical for him. So I am so glad to hear that that's coming in here. Well, we've made the transition then. You are no longer in the Archdiocese of LA. You've come over here. You were hired in order to take on this new challenge. What are your hopes and dreams?
You know, it's a really exciting time here in the Diocese of Orange. And my hopes and dreams, you know, really my vision for the future of our schools here is exactly that, to continue to grow in our Catholic identity, to strengthen that on every level, and really because my interest and my passion is that leadership piece, to start with our leaders, to equip them so that they can support their teachers, their staff, their parents, their students. For many of our Catholic school principals, they are the face of the church to their communities. And that's a huge responsibility, but what a beautiful opportunity if they are supported in the right way.
If they have that, if they've developed that relationship with the parish especially, where they've become an integral part, if not the face of the educational program, then what a great gift they are to that parish.
Absolutely.
Not every school has done that.
Right.
And so you kind of are hitting the ground in a diocese where I think you have quite a mixed bag. You've got a number of schools where this is really taking place well,
uh-huh.
and a number of schools where it needs some improvement.
That's right.
And I know that there are some structuring issues you're looking at doing. I know there's a couple of positions. There's two assistant superintendent positions you're looking at doing.
Right.
The system we had before, I think, and I don't recall, you had one superintendent and one assistant.
And one assistant, uh-huh.
You're planning to have two. Why two?
Right. Well, they will fill two really specific needs. The first associate superintendent will focus on curriculum, spirituality, and that accreditation piece that you keep referring
WASC,
to.
A four-letter
yes.
word.
Yes. I was actually the commissioner in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. Right? Okay. Let me explain to our listening audience what we're talking about, because those of us who've been in education will throw around these words, but WASC, W-A-S-C, is the accreditation process for the Western Association of Schools and Colleges. And then, of course, there's a second component. I'm drawing a blank on the acronym.
It's the WCEA, which is the Western Catholic Education Association.
Which is the spiritual religious component uh-huh. for Catholic schools. And it's done ideally every 6 years.
Yes.
And you want to get a six clear. But they've changed the way the system works a little bit. So it's not, but that was the jargon we always use.
Right.
You want a six clear, maybe a 6R, but you do it every 6 years.
Right.
And it used to be that you would do this every 6 years, commit to doing it every year, and then put it on the shelf for 3 years, and then pull it out again and dust it off and say, oh my gosh, we got to do this and this and this over the next 2 years in order to be ready. It's changed.
It's changed.
Yeah.
It's changed. And that was really one of, what I know it sounds crazy, but one of my joys, in Los Angeles was working with principals on this path to school improvement. We are all, on a path to improvement. We're on a path to improvement in our spiritual lives, in our personal lives, and absolutely, in our lives as schools. And so to be able to interface with them and grow with them and support them in the ways that they needed, to make it a lived reality so that this wasn't something that was put on the shelf and then looked at, you know, dusted off every 4 years just to prepare for the visit, but to really shift the culture, to make it part of just who we are and what we do, and continuing that spirit of improvement in all that we do.
So the accreditation process is becoming more of a lived process toward excellence in measurable academic standards. So this one assistant superintendent
mm-hmm.
is going to be focused primarily on that.
And right.
The other assistant superintendent is going to do
focus on enrollment and management, which is a huge, huge need, you know, across the nation for Catholic schools.
Market,
and help train, help support principals, their staffs, the teachers who play a great role in marketing and promoting our schools. And really, really form some systems that we can track things, inquiries at our school all the way down to enrollment. And then that other piece, which is retention. You know, we talk about marketing, we talk about recruitment, and sometimes forget that retention piece is a big component to the overall enrollment of our schools.
And that's a shame, because for the most part, Catholic schools are, the way they're designed, ought to be a retention magnet.
Right.
Because you start off in kindergarten or first grade, whenever your first child begins, and you're suddenly surrounded by a whole bunch of other parents, and now you're running to each other's kids to field trips and different birthdays, and you don't realize it, but as a parent, you become now enmeshed in the school.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes your family, not just for that child, but if you've got two,
right.
three, four children, you're there for 20 years,
yes,
and you're really building a part of that community.
Yes.
That's what's unique about Catholic schools. It's not just a public school with a Christian overlay. It's the community of Christ, and it really ought to be that first face of Christ in the parish.
Right.
And that's how you do, that's how I understand you do retention. And somehow or another, some of our schools are missing that.
Right. And that's just it, somehow or another. So, so we'll get, the right people in our office, expand our support for our schools so that we can figure it out, so that we get it right in all of our schools.
So you've got these two different trajectories that are going on.
Yes.
And one that's looking highly at the academic and spiritual component, one that's looking at trying to build community essentially along with marketing and,
mm-hmm,
and outreach.
Right.
And then, how do you see yourself then, say, a year or two from now in this whole process? How do you see yourself as that superintendent?
Well, you know, one of the things that I want to continue doing besides strengthening that faith formation, our Catholic identity, is really focusing on outreach into our community and building those connections and networking. We have a lot of support here in the diocese.
You do.
And so it's been fun for me to just kind of scratch the surface on meeting new people that are so committed to the mission of Catholic schools. And so so I really look to building that network and tapping on some shoulders for continued support of our schools as well.
I know there's been a lot of enthusiasm about the Catholic Foundation, which has emerged as this wonderful program that the Diocese of Orange has developed in order to help support Catholic schools. What a wonderful gift to be able to come in to a setting where I could see so much potential that I'm sure you're seeing all this potential as well.
It is.
Is it overwhelming a little bit as to what the potential is to work here?
It is overwhelming in the best sense of
the
word.
It's
definitely not paralyzing, because sometimes, yeah, when you're overwhelmed, it can be paralyzing. It's the absolute opposite of that, where it is so life-giving and invigorating. And it makes my desire to do God's work even deeper.
Obviously, people can't see you, but they can hear your voice. I can tell them that as you've been speaking to me, the smile the entire time. We were talking during the break with our technical director. He was saying the laughter has been good this time as well. What I'm hearing from you is a real genuine enthusiasm about starting here to be able to take over with some wonderful opportunities to be able to mold and shape something that's already very good.
Yes, that's exactly it. The foundation's been laid, and now we just do the work to bring it forward.
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio, and with me today is Aaron Barisano, and Dr. Barisano is the new superintendent of schools for the Diocese of Orange. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more, shift gears, and talk a little bit more about how wonderful our diocese is and some of the great reasons why you really want to have your children in a Catholic school. And we will be right back.
Academic rigor and excellence are at the heart of private Catholic education. In 2016, 8 Diocese of Orange schools were awarded the highest U.S. Department of Education distinction through the No Child Left Behind Act Blue Ribbon School Program. The program honors public and private K-12 schools that are academically superior in their states or demonstrate dramatic gains in student achievement. Learn more. Visit OCCatholicSchoolsWeek.com.
Hi, I'm Chris Mueller.
And I'm Tim Marie Millington.
Hey, on Trending, we discuss today's most relevant topics from sex to social media.
These aren't topics that are awkward or uncomfortable at all to bring up with family and friends.
We're called to be a light in the world and challenge modern ideologies for the kingdom of God and for eternal salvation.
That can feel discouraging sometimes, but here on Trending, we try to help equip you to know what's going on in the world and bring our faith into the conversation.
Hey, so listen Sundays on Relevant Radio, or you can find episodes of Trending with Chris and Tim Marie podcast on iTunes or the iHeartRadio app.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. And with me today has been Aaron Barisano, who is the new superintendent of schools for the Diocese of Orange. And Dr. Barisano comes to us from the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, which has a massive system, of which he was one of 7 assistant superintendents. And now she's here with us, and she is excited about the opportunities to work with our schools. We were talking about some of the structuring that you've been working through with the Office of Catholic Schools and with Bishop Van and with Pia and some of the other people that are integral into how we're going to restructure. And there seem to be two major directions we're working with right now. One is the overall excellence and quality of the actual academic education. And the other is the spirituality and ministry of Catholic schools.
Right.
So with that in mind, I want to start with some of the academic excellence and technology and some of the wonderful things that are happening in our schools. You've only been here for a couple of weeks, but I know you've been exposed to a lot that's here.
Uh-huh.
What's impressed you so far? And then my second question will be, where do you want to go from here with it to make it even better?
Okay.
So be prepared. Whatever you lay down,
right.
I'm going to ask you to
improve
on.
It has to get
on.
Better,
it's right?
Right. Right. Well, the as I already mentioned, the foundation is it's a strong foundation that I'm walking into. And I say that with the utmost sincerity that there are a lot of just wonderful things going on in our schools. One of the things that that's really impressed me is this desire to grow, this desire to get better. There is an acknowledgement that that yes, we are a strong system of schools, and yet we desire to get better. We desire to grow and be even better at what we do for the students that we serve. Our technology program has really taken off. All of our schools have some component of a one-to-one technology program.
Now, what do you mean by a one-to-one technology program? We've got a number of listeners who are not going to know what that means.
There are variations depending on the school site, but for the majority of our schools, from I would say from fifth grade or sixth grade on up, it's a one-to-one device. So every student has either an iPad, a Chromebook, some kind of device to use as a tool for learning. And really, what that does, it's definitely not a substitute for sound instruction, but it's an added tool and helps reach our students where we are, which you know lends it to a more differentiated instructional environment. And a great tool for our teachers as well to really, really meet the needs of the students, whether that be the students that maybe aren't quite up to grade average and we need to shore them up, or those students who are really excelling that we can continue to challenge them.
A few years ago, all the rage was to have smart boards put into all the classrooms. And then we figured out that what a wonderful, wonderful tool. It's limited because it's only one smart board.
Right, right.
So to have the technology in the hands of students, especially from the middle grades on up, to be able to deal with every student having their own access to that technology.
Right, right.
Very, very helpful. Okay. What else do you see? You've had a chance to look at some of the high schools. What's going on at the high schools that's caused you to take a step back and say, that's really good?
One of the things that's really impressed me at our high schools is the level of commitment from everyone, from leadership down to department heads, to classroom teachers, to maintenance facilities staff. There is a huge commitment to the students at our high schools. And one of the questions I ask our high school principals and presidents, when our students exist on a daily basis in an environment that that is large, how do you create that sense of intimacy? And it is because of these intimate interactions with the people that surround them, with their teachers, with the deans, with the staff members that support them, that that our students in our high schools are thriving, and our high schools as a whole are thriving because of this commitment to these students who are with them for 4 years.
I have a good friend of mine that I bring on here on a fairly regular basis who's out at an all-boys high school here in the diocese. And he's a former president from a high school in a different diocese who's now the head of the theology department. And he will tell you that the dedication of the teachers is just absolutely incredible. These are people who could be doing anything
right.
for double the salary.
Yes,
and
yes.
They're here dedicated to these students, building these little robots or getting them to learn Latin or having them to go through these mathematical equations that spin my head. And yet they're there every year, every year, every year, and they're focused.
And that's it. And again, going back to the front lines, these are the people in the front lines for our kids, and they're so committed and dedicated and fueled by love that it's a special thing. Who wouldn't want that for their child? Who wouldn't want their child to go to a school every day where they are genuinely loved for the person that they are, and continue to be supported and challenged to be an even better version of themselves?
You know, a lot of our listening audience, they're being introduced to you for the first time here on the radio. I'm finding it very interesting. This is my first time I've had a chance to talk with you, too. And we were talking about technology, and the conversation keeps coming right back around to the personnel and the people that are involved, and how important the formation of the people and their heart for the ministry of education is to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So in the end, when we're talking about any of these technologies that are happening in school, most of which are absolutely stellar.
Right.
Those are all secondary, aren't they?
They really are. They really are. And I said that they're tools for our teachers. You know, our kids are digital natives, and we need to make sure that we have the right tools to engage them. But at the end of the day, if we don't have the right teachers, the right staff at our schools, the right people leading our schools, then we lose that focus on mission.
I know that we have a large number of students that are here in like the not only the elementary programs but also the preschool programs. They'll often start in preschools or TKs. And that kind of gives them an in into the front door of kindergarten, and then they start working their way up through the ranks.
Right.
For parents who are, say, with a child in third or fourth grade, they're in public school or a charter school, and they're thinking about the Catholic school difference, what would you say in order to get them to think a little bit about the possibility? Because I realize public education is very good.
Right.
No one's going to say that public education from an academic perspective is not very good, but there's a difference in Catholic education. What would you say that is if, say, I were a parent of a fourth grader and we're not entirely satisfied?
Mm-hmm.
What would you say?
I think as a parent that that you visualize the person that you want your child to be. And I'm a parent. I imagine that you want your child to be a good person, have strong values, have a good moral compass, have a good academic background. And all of those things are what our Catholic schools offer. All of those things. And particularly that strong moral compass, this values-based education. Again, I'm a product of Catholic education. And, it was the best investment that my parents made on me and my six brothers and sisters. It is hands down. And when I talk to parents, I tell them that this is an investment. And when you plan for investment, you get a return on your investment. And absolutely, when you are investing in the education of your children in a Catholic school, the return on that investment is mind-blowing.
A few years back, I was reading a report done by CARA, which is you know very well, is an educator's clearinghouse coming out of Georgetown, I believe.
Right, yeah.
And so they do a lot of in-depth studies, and this was by a couple of professors, Pearl and Gray, on disaffiliation within Catholic faith. And they made the case that, with the statistics to back it up, that if you have a child that goes through Catholic education in the elementary level for a majority of the years in the elementary level and at least 2 years of high school, the disaffiliation rate, which basically means walking away from the Catholic Church, is extremely low.
Right.
Whereas if you have a child that's never been in Catholic school, the disaffiliation rate is really very high. It really does make a difference, and we can show that statistically.
That's it.
For our children that are going through from a religious perspective, from an academic perspective as well. Our children that are going through, by the time they graduate Catholic high school, their ability to get into college is much greater.
It is much greater academically. I think the statistics put out by the NCEA a couple years ago was 98% of our students not only graduate but go on to college from our Catholic high schools. And the reason they're able to do that isn't just what the high schools are doing in 4 years. It's what's happening before that at our elementary schools. It's that whole system that we have in place here at our Catholic schools. So looking at what type of person do you want your child to grow up to be. Our Catholic schools will help form them to be that person.
I do some teaching at a UC school, and I can tell the difference when I've got freshmen and sophomores that are coming in when they're writing an essay.
Uh-huh.
They can write an essay if they've come from a Catholic school.
Right.
And they can't always some of the other schools.
Yes.
It really does make a tangible difference.
It really makes a difference. And I would just add to that, even most recently in my experience in a doctoral program, that's exactly it. Those things of being able to organize your thoughts and to put it down on paper and organize it into a longer piece. I go back to my Catholic school training for things like that. And I do a lot of writing now. So
yes, I'm sure you do. Our listening audience knows my background just a little bit. I'm still in the throes of doing the doctoral program. You've already gone through yours.
I've gone through mine.
So you can cheer me on as from across the parking lot. You can cheer me on for that. Anyway, so for the people that are looking at the possibility of a Catholic education academically, it really is a sound investment. I mean, you're talking honestly about the cost of a new car.
Really?
If you're looking at monthly payments,
uh-huh.
because it isn't all up front, it's monthly payments.
Right.
If you have some financial problems, we can often work with you on financial issues.
Absolutely.
We are not funded by the government, so we can't usually do everything.
Right.
But we can partner with you if there are issues. Most of the time we can work something out.
That's it.
So the money really shouldn't be the reason why you don't check it out.
Right.
Because when we check it out, what we are going to find is that the investment is really worth it.
It really is worth it.
If you were to give one solid reason then for people to take their child into a Catholic school, other than the religious training, which
uh-huh.
we're going to come back to in just a minute.
Okay.
What would you say? You've got a bottom line, one sentence argument.
Well,
what would you say?
Our Catholic schools perform higher than our public school counterparts. Our test scores show that. And so taking the religious aspect and the values that our curriculum is founded on academically, it's a better bang for your buck.
And you've been teaching at Loyola, and you know this to be true.
I do.
We are talking with Dr. Aaron Barisano, who is the new superintendent of schools for the Diocese of Orange. And when we come back, I want to ask you about the more effective, the ministerial aspect of this. And we will be right back.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with his love and shower us with his grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today has been Dr. Aaron Barisano. And before we go any further, I want to make sure I have thanked you profusely for coming in and gracing us with your presence and being willing to be so candid and open about both your background and what your hopes and dreams are for the Diocese of Orange and the Office of Catholic Schools. Thank you so much for coming in, and I trust this won't be the last time you'll be on with us.
This has been fun, and I would welcome the opportunity to come back and continue the conversation.
Well, and with that in mind, I want to continue the conversation. We were talking about two main tracks within your vision of structuring schools and what is important. That academic strand, which we were talking about a little bit before, although very interesting. Like I said, it was interesting to hear you go back to the people part of all that. But nevertheless, we have great academics. We've got great technology.
Right.
We've got all the structures we need in order to provide a fantastic education in a small school setting. But that small school setting is important for another important reason. It's the spirituality, the ministry. It's about Jesus Christ.
Right, right.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure.
Your background is one of deep faith in Jesus Christ. And being frank and honest, not every Catholic that calls themselves a Catholic has as deep a faith as we would hope in leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that delicately,
right.
You're now approaching this from a true believer's perspective on this is about ministry for Jesus Christ first and foremost. How can I have these children and their families, because it's really a family
right.
ministry.
Right.
How can I have these children and their families encounter Christ? So, Dr. Barisano, how do you see yourself accomplishing that call?
You know, I think one of the most important things when you're companioning people on their journey is meeting people where they are. We see this example in the Gospels numerous times when Jesus he met people where they were, whether that be the lepers, the beggars, the marginalized. He went out to the people and met them where they were. And so when I'm in this position of leadership, it very much is a position of servanthood. And I view it as that. And so the opportunity to meet people where they are, starting again with my principals and my presidents to the teachers. I spent a good time, a good amount of time yesterday with our 75 new teachers. My presentation as the superintendent was the ministry of teaching. Every opportunity I have to interact with our teachers, with our school leaders, with the parents, and then particularly with our students, I think my message will be consistent that that we are on this journey together, this journey of faith. And so so that idea of meeting people where they are, not only spiritually, but also, like I said, physically, going out to the people, going out to the schools, going into those classrooms to meet with the people so that we can get to know one another, that we can pray together, and that we can journey together.
So then let's talk for a moment about that family that is thinking about the possibility of a Catholic education. Mm-hmm. They have either been on the fence or they're starting public school and they decided, whoa, I need to back up and rethink this. From a Christian perspective, what would you say to them as to why a Catholic education is so important?
Catholic schools are formational in many different ways. Schools as institutions are formational in our children's academic life, but Catholic schools are formational in a much larger sense. And we talk about educating the whole person. And by the whole person, we're talking about not only that that educational and academic point of our children, but that spiritual component, the physical component, the socio-emotional component, and the safety of our students as well. And so we educate our children in the whole sense and looking at them as individuals because we are a smaller environment. We have the opportunity to look at our children as these small individuals while still creating these really important and special communities that you mentioned. And so I think that's what's so unique about a Catholic school setting. And again, as a parent, I think that it's something that would be very attractive and very desirable for parents, in terms of helping grow their children.
When I was a principal, one of the things that I always mentioned when I was talking to a prospective family is that you're not just talking, as you were saying, it's formational, but you're not just talking about the academic component of it. God is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
God is everywhere in this educational environment. My janitor is a minister.
Right.
My maintenance person is a minister, along with my food deliverer, along with every teacher and teacher's aide. They're all first and foremost a minister of Jesus Christ, and they all get it, and they all believe it. We've got the right people on the bus,
right,
so to
right.
speak, and we're going. And that means that over the next several years, your children are going to be known very well by a cadre of adults who are going to be looking after them and forming them. Talk about safety.
Right.
We're going to know when your child really is having a difficulty.
Yes.
We're going to know when your child is struggling, and we're going to call you on that because we love your children just like Jesus Christ loved
right.
your children.
Right, right.
And that was so important for a lot of people
mm-hmm.
to hear. And this is one of this to me has always been a Catholic school difference, that it's about that community in Jesus Christ throughout their lives that you really can't get anywhere else.
Right. And that's it. And you're right. You really can't get that anywhere else. You can't. And it is one of the unique gifts of Catholic education. And again, as a parent myself, I've had those conversations with my children's teachers and those phone calls. And to be able to entrust your children with a community that you know loves them and wants the best for them and desires them to be the best version of themselves. What an absolute gift for our parents.
Wow, the way you said that was just beautiful. So, if you're looking at a possible Catholic education, the Diocese of Orange still has openings. Mm-hmm. We have some schools that are more impacted than others, mm-hmm. but most of our schools have openings in most grades.
That's right.
So if someone was interested in a Catholic education, would they call your office and talk to you, or would they do something a little bit different than that?
They can, you know, if they call my office, they will most likely get my assistant, Nancy, who is very knowledgeable and can direct you to a school in your local area, point you in the right direction. But if you're doing a little bit of groundwork yourself and check the school's websites, I encourage you to call the schools directly. All the schools, talk to the principal, set up a tour. As a community, we're all here to support our parents and our families.
Most of the schools in the Diocese of Orange are either one class per grade or two class per grade.
That's correct.
Which means that your principal is going to want to know every family that comes in. They will be very happy to take your phone call, meet with you, and talk with you in order to get you to understand what their school is all about.
Yes.
And every school is a little bit different, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, my family, we recently relocated from Pasadena down to Huntington Beach.
Welcome to Orange County.
Thank you. And we had to look for a new school. So I was in the parent seat. And I hadn't been in that seat before in terms of really, really looking at a new school for my children. And it was an interesting process, but it was exactly that. I knew at the end of the day we would find the right place and the right community for our family. And we did. And it's an exciting time to start being a part of a new community.
Wow. Your children's ages range from what to what, if I may?
I have a son who's 10 years old.
Wow.
He's going into fifth grade. And my daughter is 13. She's going into eighth grade.
Okay. Well, very good. She survived seventh grade.
She did. Yeah. Mom survived seventh grade. So,
did you ever, were your kids ever in your school?
They were not.
Okay.
They were not.
I had the experience of being dad until we got to the front doors and their principal while they were there for a while. So that's a different experience. I'm kind of glad you didn't have to deal with that, but that's okay. So it's in everyone's best interest that you are successful at what you're doing here.
That's right.
I want to thank you so very much again for coming in and for being so candid about everything that we've been talking about. Because, you know, for most of the people who have never met you before, they're going to be hearing you on this. People can hear this podcast, by the way. They can go ahead and download it and play it over and over again. Or they can go ahead and tell their other parents, hey, have you heard the superintendent was on the air? Because I can hear your enthusiasm in your voice as you're talking. And for the people who, again, can't see it, the sparkle in your eye, not to be too trite, but the sparkle in your eye and the smile on your mouth when you're talking about what you're doing in your ministry is palpable. So
thank you
very much for being so candid about everything here.
This has been my pleasure.
Well, and welcome to the Diocese of Orange. I'm glad that you were able to come in here.
Thank you.
Welcome to living in Orange. It's a beautiful place to live.
It sure is.
And welcome to your ministry. I'm glad that you're able to do that here. Speaking of ministry, would you please lead us in a brief word of prayer?
Oh, I'd be honored. Loving God, we thank you again for your presence here among us. And we ask you to continue blessing us on our journey. Continue to bless the leaders in our schools, the teachers who have been teaching our children. And bless in a very special way the parents and the children that we serve. As we begin our new school year, continue to guide us with your love and with your spirit, that we may have wisdom and that we may have comfort to do what you call us to do. And we ask all of this in your name. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father,
and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Aaron Barasano, for coming in. You are listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we have been talking about Catholic education and our new superintendent, and we will see you again next week.
Thank you.
The Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company, Travel of Orange, to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.
Hi, I'm Chris Mueller.
And I'm Timmery Millington.
Hey, on Trending, we discuss today's most relevant topics from sex to social media.
These aren't topics that are awkward or uncomfortable at all to bring up with family and friends.
We're called to be a light in the world and challenge modern ideologies for the kingdom of God and for eternal salvation.
That can feel discouraging sometimes, but here on Trending, we try to help equip you to know what's going on in the world and bring our faith into the conversation.
Hey, so listen Sundays on Relevant Radio, or you can find episodes of Trending with Chris and Timmery podcast on iTunes or the iHeartRadio app.
My name is Nick Jordan. I'm the founder of Wells of Life. I'm here to tell you that there are 10 million people in Uganda without access to clean water. Imagine your water comes from a stream or pond shared with animals. Imagine that this water is loaded with parasites and disease. Each day you have to walk 3 miles to fetch this because it's all the water there is. So what can you do about this? The great news is you can do a lot. Go to wellsoflife.net and make a personal donation. Talk to your family, church, or company about funding your own well. Every penny goes to fund your well and will bring water and life to as many as 1,000 parishioners in rural Uganda for up to 20 years. Go to wellsoflife.net and make a personal donation. Wellsoflife.net. Wellsoflife.net.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange.
This is John Romero, Music Director at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are 1 year away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, and we have some spectacular concerts available to you. Check them all out at ChristCathedralMusic.org or on our Facebook page, Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.